Well, thank you so much, Steve and worship team. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love watching superhero movies. I love the Marvel superhero movies, all sorts of different action figures. Riley's like giving two thumbs up. He loves the Superman movies, superhero movies. Now, isn't it interesting that that many of these superheroes, they try to cover or hide their identity? Many people, as a result, are wondering, who are these superheroes? What's their identity, and where are they? You know, and thinking of specifically Superman, you know, quite often the comics or the movies, they'll see something in the sky and they'll say, "Hey, is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Superman." And in a similar way, you know, we look at Jesus and we might read scripture, and Jesus is, he's not a cartoon character, he's not a computer animated character, but in the same way, sometimes when you say the word Jesus, people might say, is that a teacher? Is that a prophet? Well, no, the Gospel of Mark would say, no, he's much more than that. He's the super God man. And I hope we all come to discover that and maybe perhaps even rediscover that for our own selves. And so as a result, this new series starting today is called The Super God Man out of the Gospel of Mark. We just finished our previous series in the book of Psalms, just two chapters. But this new series, Super God Man, should take us through the majority of the fall and maybe even into the new year. Anyways, let me just give you some background information on the book of Mark as we start off this series. So first of all, there's four Gospels in the New Testament. The Gospel of Mark is one of them, and the Gospel of Mark is likely the first one of the four to be written. The Gospel of Mark is written to Roman Christians. It is short. It's fast-paced. Jesus is seen as a man of action who performs many miracles. And in fact, Mark includes more miracles of Jesus than any one of the other Gospel writers. In this book, Jesus is portrayed as the one who is clearly the Messiah, the God incarnate, the God-man, or as I like to say, the super God-man for this series. You should know that we have been preaching out of the New Living Translation, but the elders have kindly requested that we use the NIV. And so for today and beyond, we're going to be switching to the New International Version. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 1. If not, the words will be displayed on the screen behind me. Let me pray, and we'll jump right into it. Lord, thank you again for today. Thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we start this new series in Mark, the Super God Man, that you would bless this new series. Help us to discover and rediscover who you are today and throughout this series and how wonderful of a God that you truly are. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to read the first chapter, but before we read the first 13 verses, I just want to make a couple comments. Now, unlike Matthew and Luke, the other Gospels, Mark does not mention Jesus' birth. There's no mention of his birth, unlike Mark and Luke. In addition, Mark does not even take the time to record Jesus' genealogy, like Matthew and Luke does. Everything is very concise in the book of Mark, and in fact, Mark summarizes in the first 13 verses what Matthew and Luke will take about four chapters to do. So there's a lot jammed in the first 13 verses, and we're just going to go ahead and start reading at verse 1 through 13. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. with you I am well pleased. Now, just as a side note, I don't know what it would have been like to have seen that voice or have heard that voice or whatever, experienced it, but I'm sure it would have been absolutely amazing to witness that event. Then we move on to verse 12 and 13. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. And so let me summarize what Mark says here in the first 13 verses. He gets right to the point. First verse, he says, basically, this book is about Jesus. And he's not joking around. He's getting right to the point. He's saying that this man, Jesus, is the one whom Isaiah prophesied about. Isaiah is a big name prophet, and he has prophesied about Jesus, and he's the guy that I'm writing about. Jesus is the real deal. This is the man, Jesus, is the man whom John the Baptist, a highly respected man, who was preparing the way for Jesus. This Jesus person, this powerful man, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just baptize with water. There's something different about him. And of course, we see the voice from heaven, which we understand to be God, God himself, affirming Jesus as the Son of God. This is the super God man, according to Mark, and it just got real. Verse 14 and 15 says this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And so there's a message of repentance. And I just want to pause and just talk about this one word, repent. And, you know, I think sometimes we will often shy away from this word when we talk about sharing the gospel with others. Sometimes we just revert to, you know, God loves us. You're a nice person. I'm a nice person. Let's hug each other. But I think when we miss this idea of repentance, the fact that we are sinners and in need of help, we miss something huge. You know, a shoplifter wrote to a department store saying this. He said, I've just become a Christian. And I can't sleep at night because I feel guilty. So here's the $100 that I owe you. He signed his name, then he added a little P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest. So this whole idea of repentance, he didn't have it just quite right. If you don't know, repentance is acknowledging your sin before God with a sense of regret or a sense of sorrow. It also involves a life change. It's this idea that I'm not going to participate in the things that I used to. I once was walking this way, but I'm going to turn around and do the opposite and walk this way for God now. The truth is that because we have all sinned, we are all desperately lost, and we are in desperate need of a Savior. And the Bible says if we repent of our sins and if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave, and if we commit our life to him, we will be saved. And so repentance is an important element in the gospel. And if you have not acknowledged your sin before God, you are welcome to do that today. Next, we move on to a section which I find absolutely fascinating. Jesus calls his disciples. And that's in verse 16 and following. And I'll tell you why I think this is so amazing, this passage, after I read it to you. Verse 16 says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. So at once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here's why I find this passage so fascinating. It appears as though, first of all, these guys have never met Jesus before, or at least if they have, there's very minimal interaction. The book of John records a bit more interaction, but it's very, very minimal. And so after this simple invitation from Jesus, whom they have very little interaction with, they just like that, they leave their family, they leave their livelihoods. It's kind of insane. You know, I don't know of anyone in my life who has made such a drastic decision like that at a moment's notice, in a short time frame. You know, the other day I was in, I was in Canadian Tire, and then I was with my daughter, and I was in Canadian Tire, then we went to Home Depot. We were looking for a cheap shoe rack. And I was scratching my head over option number one or two or three. I went to another store, checked those options out. And my daughter was probably going bonkers because I was taking so long to make a decision on a cheap shoe rack. There's probably, we take months to make decisions on, marriage, careers, moves, maybe vacation plans, maybe some other frivolous things in our life or meaningless things in our life we take forever to make decisions on. But these guys make a huge, dramatic decision in virtually no time. They drop everything to follow Jesus. And here's another reason why Jesus is so special. Because people are willing to drop everything and follow him after a simple invitation. Amen. Imagine it was that easy to recruit volunteers in church. What would our churches look like? Wow. Jesus was the ultimate recruiter. Now, let me ask you a question. If that were you and I in the boat and Jesus were to ask you to follow him, what would your response be? Would you drop everything and follow him? Or would you say, let me go back and think about it. I'm going to read a book, and then I'm going to take a course, and I'm going to analyze it for a few months, and then I might talk to some people for a few years, and maybe when I'm older, maybe when my kids move out, maybe that'll be a time that I'm going to give my life to the Lord and follow you, Lord. But what would your decision be? What would your choice be? And the truth is, just as Jesus was, we're reading about Jesus in this story in the Gospel of Mark, the truth is Jesus is here today, and he's asking you the same question, will you follow me? And the same invitation is given to you today, and you have the opportunity to respond like the disciples did, or not. What will your response be? Moving on, now I'm already blown away with the stuff that Mark says about Jesus, but we're only halfway there. We still have half the chapter to go. And I'm already impressed with this man Jesus as we're discovering who he is, but we've only got, like I said, through half the chapter, and now we read of something absolutely amazing that happens again. Now we read of Jesus, he's driving out demons, which makes him again, of course, even more special to us. Verses 21 and following. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to the impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Another amazing passage that we learn. We learn more things about Jesus in this passage. There's a few things we learn about him. Number one, we learn that he's a one of a kind. He's unique, a powerful, and an authoritative teacher. There is something way different about the way he teaches. But again, he wasn't just a teacher. He was way more than that. Number two, we also learn that this Jesus character, this Jesus has the power and authority over the spiritual and the demonic world. He's the real deal. Number three, we learn that this impure spirit knows who he is. It wasn't just like Jesus shows up and he's like, "Who are you and what do you want?" No, this demon, and he knows who Jesus is, and he doesn't want to mess with him because he knows that this Jesus has the power to destroy him. And we get the sense that that the demonic world quakes in fear in the presence of Jesus. And even the demon himself refers to Jesus. He knows who he is, and he refers to Jesus as the Holy One of God. If you don't know what, if you're not familiar with that phrase is used in the Old Testament to describe a high priest, but also a prophet. And so the demon recognizes that this Jesus is a very special person, a man of authority over the spiritual and the demonic world, and he's sent from God. And so this super God man, he teaches with authority, and he's got power over the demonic world. And guess what? The chapter is not done yet. Mark has still more to say. And now we read of Jesus healing people. Verse 29 and following says this. As soon as they left the synagogue, excuse me, let me get a drink of water. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So now we discover that this super God man not only has the authority over the spiritual and the demonic realm, but he also has the power to heal people of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. He's amazing. Who is he? Well, he's the super God man. The same Jesus, again, who heals and casts out demons, he's here today. And whatever struggle or challenge you're facing with today, he wants you to bring that challenge, that trial to him, because there's nothing that he can't handle. And he wants you to bring that to him, whatever you're struggling with. He's strong enough to deal with any trial in your life. Verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone's looking for you. And you know, it's quite amazing that someone of great power and authority would actually need to go away and spend time in prayer. And if Jesus needed to go away and spend time in prayer, how much more do we need to make sure that we're making it a priority to spend time with the Lord in prayer? Verse 38 and following, Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So he's driving out more and more demons. And then the final passage in this chapter, Jesus is now going to heal a man with leprosy. And so it starts in verse 40. It says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. And so Mark has already mentioned earlier on that he has healed people of many, many diseases and sicknesses. But why would Mark highlight this particular disease and this particular situation? And I think for most of us here, it's 2015, we're in Canada, North America. I know, speaking for myself, I've never personally seen someone with leprosy, and most of us are probably not incredibly familiar with it. But let me give you some insight as to why this would have been a horrible disease to have in that time, in that culture. I mean, because you would have been seen as an outcast, and I'll explain to you why. Number one, if you had leprosy, you would have had to have lived outside in a secluded area away from the city, away from the general population. So that's already bad enough. You're already isolated. Number two, you were required to wear torn clothes. So for those of you who like to keep up with fashion and stuff, it wouldn't have worked out for you if you had leprosy. You would have been wearing dirty, torn up clothes. Number three, if you came into contact with anyone, they would have had to cover the lower part of their face and shout out, unclean, unclean, as a warning, stay away, don't come near me, I'm diseased. And I'm sure that would have been an absolutely humiliating experience. And number four, of course, nobody would have wanted to have gone near that person if that was you. because of the disease was just such a horrible thing to contract. Nobody would have wanted to come near you except Jesus. And so here he is. He not only interacts with this leper at a close distance, but he heals him, not by speaking a word, which he has done in the past, but he actually reaches out and he touches this leper. Have you ever done something that you feel so bad about that you feel that others are going to judge you or that God's not going to want anything to do with you? Well, I want to let you know that if you come to God with a heart of humility, and you recognize your need for God, there's no one that God will turn away. He will welcome you with open arms, and he will reach out, and he will touch you, no matter how dirty you feel or how much of an outcast you feel like. We'll come back to that in a second. But, you know, on another note, I see a couple of places where, and I'm curious as to why Jesus says these things, but there's a couple of places where Jesus commands the demons not to reveal his identity. And he's also telling this leper not to reveal his identity as well, to keep it hush-hush. And I kind of wonder why. Why in the world is Jesus doing that? Well, I kind of think that, first of all, I think Jesus would have received the wrong kind of attention and popularity if expressed by those demons and those people. But I think also Jesus wanted to reveal his identity in his own time and in his own way, in a way that made sense. So again, we've just started this series. We're on week one, chapter one, and we have learned a ton about who this Jesus man is. We've learned that this Jesus, whom we're reading about, is one whom the prophets prophesied about. We read that John the Baptist, as a summary, one who is highly respected, was preparing the way for Jesus. We also learn that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He's much more than just a regular guy who baptizes with water. A voice from heaven, God himself, affirms Jesus as the Son of God. We see that Jesus preaches a message of repentance. We see that at a moment's notice, Jesus calls a bunch of men to become his disciples, and they immediately leave everything, their family, their livelihood, and they follow him. Something's up with this man. He's a special guy. Jesus is one who teaches with a unique style of authority. Jesus is one who casts out demons. He has demonstrated power and authority over the demonic realm. And a demon himself actually refers to Jesus as the Holy One of God. We also read in this passage that he heals many diseases and he continues to drive out demons. He closes this passage by healing an outcasted and unclean leper by reaching out and touching him. And so we're only on chapter one of many more chapters to come, but we already see that Jesus is living up to his reputation as a super God man. And I hope you'll come to agree with me that Jesus was unlike any other person that ever walked the planet. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come back and the prayer team to set themselves up. And I just want to say that, you know, just as Jesus called his disciples to follow him, like I said earlier on in the message, he is here today and he's inviting you to do the exact same thing. We've been talking about Jesus, and if something is stirring in your heart and you have not made a decision as to who Jesus is and you want to accept Jesus' invitation to follow him, you're welcome to do that today, and the prayer team would be glad to pray with you. Maybe, like I said earlier on, maybe you feel a little bit unclean or untouchable in some ways in your life, like this leper felt at the end of this passage. And maybe you feel like God doesn't want anything to do with you. And again, I want to assure you that if you come to God with a heart of humility, he will welcome you with open arms, and you're welcome to come forward today as well. If you come today and you feel you have something you want to pray about in your life, again, you can talk to someone with the prayer team. They'll be identified with a prayer tag, a name tag, and they can help you out with that. Let me just close our time with a word of prayer. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for being strong and powerful like none other, Lord. But we also thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is kind and compassionate. Lord, we thank you that you're a rock that we can put our trust in. We pray, Lord, today that as you make this, as you've given us this invitation, like you've given to disciples in this chapter, this invitation to follow you, I pray, Lord, that we would all take that seriously no matter where we're at in our walk with you, and that we would have the courage, Lord, to make the decision to simply drop wherever we're at and just simply follow you. We pray, Lord, for the rest of the day, Lord, that you would continue to be with us and whatever it looks like. And we pray that you would receive all the glory and honor with anything that happens today. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.